Now, Mark Gillespie, now, we've talked a bunch about police brutality, and we've been talking about how this is some of the worst police brutality we've seen for decades. Perhaps the last clearest example of this kind of police brutality was, of course, the first Mardi Gras march that carried out in 1978 when the police attacked our rights. And Chris Minns is trying to take us back to a legal time before 1978 when we didn't have the right to march and the cops did this kind of thing. Mark Gillespie was there. He was one of the original 78ers, paving the way in the fight for LGBT rights in this country. And he's been a staunch activist in support of the Palestinian struggle for freedom. And he's going to talk today about those words as well. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Josh. Your words are most appreciated. And I acknowledge the previous speakers. My brother, who spoke first from Palestine, whose humanity almost brought me to tears. Good afternoon to all of you. It's good that you are here. I would like to acknowledge that we gather on Gadigal land, land that was never ceded. And what I would like to say here is that I support the continued just struggle for sovereignty over this land for Aboriginal people. For nearly 2.5 years now, we have gathered almost every Sunday here at this beautiful spot in the northern part of Hyde Park. We came together because we are witnessing events that humanity has repeatedly vowed must never happen again. After the Holocaust, the world said never again. After Cambodia, the world said never again. After Rwanda, the world said never again. Each time, humanity recognized that when innocent people are being slaughtered, the world not only has the right but the responsibility to speak, to act, and to refuse silence. Australia has understood this in the past. As a middle power, we invested in diplomacy and conflict resolution. We helped to bring an end to Pol Pot's regime. We believed that human life mattered wherever it was lived. Yet now we are here in 2026, in a world that has become more dangerous, a world where violence is normalized, populations are desensitized, and moral responsibility is increasingly abandoned. I want to briefly explain who is speaking to you today and why. I am a teacher and a social anthropologist. I lived and worked for many years in Africa and the Middle East. I'm now retired from the University of Sydney. I am a foundation member of a grassroots community organization, the City of Sydney for Palestine. As Josh said, I am also a 78er. And I must say that that does not mean that I'm 78 years old. I'm not quite there yet, but getting close. That 78er generation that I belong to, back in June of 1978, were brutalized by the New South Wales Police in a way that I saw again and experienced and witnessed again on February the 9th, that Monday, a couple of Mondays ago, by the same New South Wales Police. At this point, I want to just speak briefly in Arabic, perhaps particularly to Palestinian Muslims and Christians who are here with us today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, ahlan wa sahlan, Ramadan kareem. The words I spoke a moment ago, ahlan wa sahlan, Ramadan, were recently rendered in sand calligraphy on a Gaza beach by a Gazan artist, Feda Ayad, a beach in northern Gaza. He spoke in Arabic and I translate here back into English. I'm quoting his words. Even if we try to cope with the situation, we can't truly feel Ramadan in our hearts. We are trying to cope with all the devastation and loss. We want to feel the spirit of Ramadan, but we can't truly feel it. What I say to you and to the Australian government is that this is what collective punishment looks like. This is what dehumanization sounds like. When people are denied dignity, denied safety, and denied even the space to breathe, daily life becomes a struggle to remain human. And these conditions now exist not only in Gaza, but across the West Bank as well, where Palestinians are terrorized daily. I was last in Palestine in 2019. What I witnessed there echoed what I had seen before in apartheid South Africa. And I will add, as someone who grew up in Queensland, I saw the same on Aboriginal reserves like Palm Island and other reserves further north up along the Cape and into Torres Strait that I know quite well. What we are seeing here are systems of segregation, expansionism, and domination. I also want to briefly explain for anyone who will listen who does not know Arabic a little about the word intifada and the roots of its meaning. I do so in response to recent political efforts, and you know who I'm referring to here, the influence of Gillian Siegel. These recent political efforts to restrict freedom of speech selectively by framing hate speech laws, which are there for only selected parts of our community. The two phrases which are now going to soon go into law in the Queensland Parliament are words which refer to our struggles, particularly this phrase which has gained a lot of attention: globalizing the intifada. The word intifada, as it's come down to us in English, is through the eyes of the Israeli occupiers. They have experienced two intifadas, and they use the word uprising, perhaps, or they will use the word rebellion. They will have a word which means violent intent. But that is a narrative that Western and English speakers have now more or less adopted when trying to understand the meaning of that word. The original meaning, back to the mists of time, refers to an ability to get something active, engaged, and alive, to shake off, as some of you might have heard, to shake off almost like a dusty carpet. You want to put life into the carpet again. Intifada, in fact, actually means resistance. It does not mean violent overthrow. Intifada, and I'm warning all of these legislators across the country, the dangerous laws that you're about to introduce can do nothing but harm to our freedom of speech in this country. Large numbers of people will gather at the southern end of this park for the annual Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. It's a celebration of the right to live openly and safely in a diverse, creative, and cosmopolitan city. And I'm bloody proud of that legacy. 48 years where a despised minority like mine, once despised, outcast can have the opportunity to openly and publicly celebrate who we are. Now, that police violence of 78 we have seen again today. And we have also seen, and I have to mention this, over the last several years, an increase in deaths in custody at the hands of New South Wales Police. And I want to mention further the deaths of people in mental distress who, because of a mental health call out, police arrive and end up either smothering, shooting, or pepper spraying people in mental distress to death. You will not know the statistics and the numbers, but on average, more than 10 people in New South Wales are being killed in this way by New South Wales Police. Back in 1978, and perhaps I can just share this quickly before we move on. One of our slogans in 1978, and I hope I can get you to perhaps join in with me. It's a sad thing that I have to stand here in 2026 and this slogan is still relevant. Let me say this slogan that we used in 78, and if you feel comfortable, you're welcome to join in with me. Stop police attacks!
Stop police attacks!
On gays, women and blacks!
On gays, women and blacks!
Stop police attacks!
Stop police attacks!
On gays, women and blacks.
On gays, women and blacks.
So just to move towards a conclusion, when people gather peacefully to demand justice, when they refuse silence, and when they expose uncomfortable truths, power too often responds not with dialogue but with force. What unites us here today is not identity, not background, not even belief. It is a shared commitment to human dignity. It is a refusal to accept that some lives matter less than others. We stand here not because it is comfortable, we stand here because it is necessary. Silence has never saved a single life. History will not ask what we felt, it will ask what we did when it mattered. I mentioned the city of Sydney for Palestine. It's a group like many other groups around New South Wales, community groups, and I would encourage you to find out which group is in your area. They're all over the state. These are people working together, ordinary Australians coming together, often working at the local government level like the group I'm in has done. I'll just tell you this briefly. In December 2023, the City of Sydney Council, under Clover Law, after a lot of campaigning by us, was one of the first cities in the world to openly and strongly call for a ceasefire in Gaza. We will continue working at all levels, local, state and federal. And I really do encourage you to join any of the groups that are close to you. I will leave you with a saying quickly from the Sufi tradition, which I learned during my time in Syria. Quote, most people are friendly with those who are outwardly similar to them. The wise are friendly with those who are inwardly similar to them. Thank you, everyone.